everybody. Welcome to Tuesday edition Bulldog Hour. Captain Russ alongside. Here, as always, until 3, CG will take over. Bring you to 6, baseball, both stations tonight. The A's on the sister station, the Deuce, at 6:45 on 790 as they host the Twins. I was mentioning to Russ, two really good and entertaining teams with a lot of power, but because it's the Coliseum, it probably means, 10 to 12,000 people there, which is unfortunate. But it's a better matchup than watching the Giants and the Padres, which is what people in San Diego will do down at Petco, and we'll have that one for you. After the Giants put up 13 last night, have that one for you on the mothership here, 9:40, 6:30 the pre, and 7:10 first pitch. And as we were talking yesterday, we'll see what the Giants look like when this month ends, as we're just into it, the trading deadline at the end of the month, of course, to All-Star break next week. I would imagine Bumgarner is gone, and in all honesty, I don't know what other assets the Giants might have. Some of the guys from Sacramento are up. But again, it's just going to be retooling the rest of the way, and we'll see what happens. And one more time, if they can limit the damage to 90 losses or so, that's probably about the best you can hope for the A's. They would like to get back to the playoffs, but the American League is a real tough proposition. The division, for all intents and purposes, was gone when the year started because of the Astros. Rangers are playing well. That makes it even tougher for the wild card. We know Tampa Bay is going to be right there wild card-wise. The Yankees are going to run away with the East. Twins had that huge lead for a while in the Central. Probably only have one come out of the Central, the Twins, but the Red Sox have to be accounted for in Tampa Bay and even Texas. So for the A's, it's going to be tough to get back to where they were last year, which was that 5 seed. But they do have the talent to do it. And, of course, we'll have the A's on 790 all summer long while the Giants are on 940. And we wait impatiently for Fresno State football on August 31. And a lot going on there. And we were talking to Jackson about roster changes, everything on Friday. We'll continue to talk to Jackson and Paul and everybody else. Andrew will be back with us next week. He actually was at the Yankees and Red Sox in London over the weekend. He and his dad overseas. They're going to go other locales like Poland, etc. And then we'll reconvene with Andrew when he gets back. And for us, with the focus being Fresno State, we're always going to be paying attention to what goes on in the rest of the Mountain West. And we have not turned a blind eye to what has happened at USC, where you've got that suit saying harassment was there when essentially Courtright tried to be a whistleblower and what he thought, at least in his opinion, were illegalities that the Trojans were once again proffering. Now, where that ends up, don't know whether it's going to go back to the NCAA to reexamine everything. Who knows? But we'll continue to talk about all that kind of stuff throughout the summer. Now, for today, Daryl will be with me. We're going to get back to free agency. I don't know what else you can say about what's going on in the NBA at the moment. You know, locally, we talked about Deshaun getting his chance in Summer League. The California Classic part of Summer League started. Yet a couple of venues last night. Games up in Sacramento will be the same tonight. The Warriors and Lakers Summer League teams actually playing. Also have some stuff going on at Utah, and then everybody is going ahead to Las Vegas in short order. And as we were talking to our buddy Dave Severance, who's in the Clippers front office, about this, everybody is now there, all 30 teams, including international teams, what have you. So if you're a Deshaun Taylor or somebody, you have a real chance to show your wares to a lot of people out there. And so we're very hopeful that Deshaun gets a chance to maybe find himself in the NBA. He's going to play in Australia this year. But we saw what happened with Andrew Bogut. He played the entirety of the year in Australia, actually went right through the playoffs, but because the season ended earlier, ended up with a chance with the Warriors that, in all candor, had it not been for the injuries to Durant and to Klay Thompson, probably would have ended up with a ring for Bogut. It means for guys like Deshaun, you can go and play in the NBL, the Australian League, and still have a chance to maybe be picked up come playoff time. So we'll see how it plays out, and we'll see how well he does in Las Vegas. Those games in Las Vegas available throughout the ESPN platforms, particularly ESPN3. And one other note as we bring Daryl up, Jimmer Fredette got 14 last night for the Warriors. So you know what? They've got to fill out that roster, and just maybe he has matured enough. Goodness knows he's a superstar in China. Matured enough with his ball handling skills and all of that stuff, and maybe he's actually playing defense for the first time. He might actually make the Warriors. Every chance to make the Warriors is going to be this year. All right, to talk about everything going on basketball-wise locally and throughout the NBA, our good friend HoopMag.com's NBA.com's, and for a long time media relations at Fresno State, it is Daryl Howerton. Daryl, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Daryl. I'm waiting for Kawhi to make a decision. I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you. I'm a little irritated, though I know it's justified, to have a conversation about whether the Warriors can make the playoffs or not. It's sort of galling, but that's where we're at with this thing. Before we get there, though, and we will talk about Kawhi, and our buddy Adrian Wojnarowski, who is the king of the NBA. There's no doubt about it. We've known Woj a long time, used to write at the B, great friend of ours. He has become the guy. He has been the guy for the NBA for a long time, but for the media, but when he got to ESPN, the platforms were such that he is ubiquitous, to say the least. He said, Daryl, about a half hour ago, that he does not anticipate anything happening with Kawhi in a big hurry. Then he also said, but then again, it could be 20 minutes from now. So that was the proviso. So we'll address all of this and how it impacts us locally. And look, it impacts this station greatly because the Lakers have been our longtime team and will continue to be so. And I will tell you something, my friend. We've seen the Lakers get relegated to 790 rather than 940 a lot because the Lakers haven't been competitive. Trust me, if Kawhi signs, they're going to spend all their time on 940. I could just tell you that right now. But first, I want to ask you about Deshaun and the guys who have a chance from the area in Vegas. Is Deshaun the best chance for somebody with Fresno State roots to make a big impact in Las Vegas?
Yes, no doubt about it. As far as on this, you know, coming platform after the 4th of July holiday, sits up in Las Vegas, summer league basketball starts with the NBA teams, you know, right after that. Definitely Deshaun Taylor, the Philadelphia 76ers summer league team, is a perfect opportunity for him to show his wares. I mean, it's a team that needs guards. It's a team he would be a perfect fit on. I always thought he had a Lou Williams style type of game, and I hate to compare him to one of the best guards in the NBA, but I'm just talking stylistically. And that's the team that brought Lou Williams up. That's the team that, you know, Allen Iverson groomed him under over there and right. taught him a lot of his moves. And I wouldn't be surprised if AI caught the same thing in Deshaun's game that he saw in Lou Williams, because Deshaun has that same type of work ethic, that same type of desire, and that same type of offensive game. Not to mention that he has a defensive game that made him one of the best defenders in the Mountain West that, you know, that neither Iverson nor Lou Williams brought to the table. So, you know, if he can impress them offensively, he's got the perfect game to fit in Philly. And I believe in Deshaun almost as much as he believes in himself. Nobody has higher belief in himself than Deshaun Taylor. He gambled on himself when no one else did. And I'm right there backing him the whole way. I've always thought he had NBA ability, and I'm so happy that he gets the opportunity to show some teams what he has.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and we've talked about it, that coming out of JC, coming out of the unknown, we really didn't know that Deshaun was going to have the impact that he did, but it didn't take very long in what was his junior year for us to see that he was going to be the guy. Really, the last 2 years in particular, just the guy on the team. And we talked about it, Daryl. At times, if he had more help around him, he probably would have been even more productive. But he had a terrific career at Fresno State and one that not a lot of people could see on the radar. And he may very well do it again with an opportunity in the NBA after playing in Australia. And I was mentioning as you were coming up, you know, you've got a chance to play a full season in Australia and still get back to the NBA for the playoffs. So we'll see. I was mentioning Jimmer Fredette last night. A lot of those guys hanging their hopes on Las Vegas. And as we've talked, Daryl, where we used to see stuff in Orlando and stuff all across the country kind of dotted around, everybody who's anybody is in Las Vegas. It is now the NBA version of the Final Four, the coaches' convention, if you will. If you have a chance to be paid attention to, it's got to be in Vegas, right? It just has to be. It's all well and good what's going on in Sacramento or Utah at the moment, but you need to be in Las Vegas to have those eyeballs on you.
Right. Las Vegas is morphing into its own thing, and it's slowly changing every year. And this year's free agency period, I think, will even change what Vegas looks like in the years to come, because normally in the past, the free agent period and the summer league basketball would be coinciding. Now we pretty much have had 90% of all the major signings, maybe 95% of all the major, you know, top 20 player type signings sign already. And the only person we're really waiting for is Kawhi Leonard. After that, DeMarcus Cousins, Danny Green. Danny Green would be the only other three guys who would probably be considered top 20 free agents. And what that happens by moving the date up to Sunday, June 30th, and having it start at 3 p.m., it caused a groundswell of signings that nobody anticipated. And now I think Summer League will be less of a meeting spot for people to talk about possible free agent signings. That'll still go on, but now it'll turn more into other type of meetings over other type of things. And I wouldn't be surprised if next year they push the free agency period up to maybe before the NBA draft, which a lot of executives want to have happen. And that would, of course, change the tenor and the tone of summer league basketball even more so in the weeks to come. It's always going to be a big event. It's going to draw all the GMs. And I think in the future what you'll see is once they have the 10 days of summer league basketball, at that point we'll probably see the final breaking point of the offseason, where an offseason begins. Even though USA Basketball will continue to play, that only really involves 12 players. It doesn't involve, you know, hundreds and hundreds of players and hundreds of execs. So I think we'll finally start to see an offseason take place in the coming years, because right now, in the past, it really seems like there is no offseason.
You're right about that. The other thing is, you and I have discussed it a great deal, Daryl, because it is true. From a 365 proposition, the NBA has taken over internationally. There's no doubt. I mean, soccer is the world's game. That's true. Here, the NFL is the game. But for headlines every single day of the year, because it's such an international game, the NBA has taken over. I don't think anybody gets more press, this country and everywhere else, than the NBA, which is good for the league when most of it is positive, right? I was just talking about the potential scandal again at USC. College sports here have had their issues. We know the NFL has had tremendous controversy because of CTE and other things and the behavior of some of their players. By and large, Daryl, even though the NBA has its moments, it has been a pretty positive press for the league. And I would imagine Adam Silver and company not only delighted about it, they really want to exploit it to the fullest, don't they?
No doubt about it. I mean, Adam Silver, the transition period that he's enjoyed following up David Stern has been flawless, really. I mean, he has really handled every case that's come his way, from the Donald Sterling fiasco to anything that came afterwards following the lockout, and just multiplied the blessings phenomenally amongst the coaches, amongst the players, amongst the owners, amongst the execs. I mean, if you look at where the salary cap was in the year 2012 to where it's going to be next year, it's practically doubled, which basically tells you revenues have doubled. Everything has doubled in the matter of 7 years. No other sport can say anything close to that. And part of the reason that it's going to continue to be successful is that the young players are seeing how beneficial it is, not only in the NBA, but some of these other leagues. We look at the National Basketball League that Deshaun Taylor is going to join if he does not make an NBA team. He has a contract that allows him to try out for the NBA, and should he not make it, he will go play for the Adelaide Sixers in the NBL, where Andrew Bogut was the MVP last year and got to come to play for the Warriors afterward in March. And not only is he going there, but you're seeing the top high school players going there, from R.J. Hampton, the top 10 high school recruit, to LaMelo Ball, another top 10 high school recruit, guys who aren't going to college and choosing to play pro. And once the G League avenues become more popular and the one-and-done rule is abolished in the year 2022, you're going to see a lot more of that, because there's a lot of money to be had in all these professional leagues that's guaranteed. You know, it's making millionaires out of teenagers at age 18 and 19, and who doesn't want that?
Well, yes, particularly if you're one of those teenagers. Yes, you're right about that, and their family and everybody else that might be around it. But all the glommers on are very pleased about it, Daryl. And before I get to emails, let me make a point of clarification here. When I talk about the NBA worldwide, what I'm saying is in other parts of the world, soccer is still the biggest sport and gets the most pub. Here, that is not the case, although soccer is gaining. I mean, particularly the Women's World Cup U.S., I'm sure more people just heard. We just watched it, that they hung on to win 2-1 against England, so they will play for the title on Sunday. Very fortunate because you had England with a very close offside penalty wipe out a tying goal. England also had a penalty kick that they could not cash in, and so for the U.S., very happy to get out of there with a 2-1 win. The point I'm making is if you take the world itself, which includes the monster entity media-wise the U.S. is, the NFL is huge here, not in Europe. Soccer, huge across the world, not as much here. The NBA, Daryl, my point was, it is the one common thread. It is both big internationally and obviously enormous now, and it's something that I think about a great deal. And you and I have had this discussion, Daryl. It wasn't that long ago in the overall scheme of things. Now, it seems like it, but you go back to just about the time that Magic and Bird were coming out of college, which happened about the time I was heading out of college, with a different earning potential, that's for sure, okay, that you had the finals on tape delay. I mean, it's hard to fathom that you had finals at one point that featured Julius Erving and Magic Johnson and Kareem Jabbar, and they were on tape delay to the West. Daryl, that is, on one hand, a long time ago, but on the other, not so long ago that you say, you know what, the strides that have been made by this league are extraordinary. They have gone to not only acceptance here, but worldwide in a way that I don't think anybody could have foreseen when Magic and Bird rolled into the league. I know that they handed the torch off to Michael, to LeBron, whatever, but it's been such exponential growth. Why? Why has it grown the way it has?
Well, I think David Stern has to be credited for a lot for that, because he had some major appealing personalities in Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Michael Jordan that he took full advantage of with the 1992 Dream Team. And it wasn't only those three guys, but a dozen other players who were larger than life. And what they put out there in Barcelona led to all the kids we see today from foreign countries coming to the NBA, playing in the Euro League, playing in foreign leagues, who got their first taste of international basketball through the Dream Team in 1992. Now, with all that being put into fruition in the Dirk Nowitzkis and the Manu Ginobili's and all the others who came, who were birthed from that movement, now we're seeing a whole new thing take off, thanks to the technology that we have, let's say through apps, through YouTube, through all these other venues, that now people from all over the world are enjoying NBA games, and not just NBA, college basketball too. The basketball in general, not only that, but high school and AAU ball has taken off exponentially when you look at views from all these companies, from Overtime to what have you, that's out there, in social media. And basketball, more than any other sport, is dominating those platforms. And that's why you've seen for the first time in the last couple of years, the revenue in college basketball and pro basketball has passed college football and pro football. It is no longer, it passed baseball a while ago if you combine the college sports with the pros. But, a long time ago. But if you combine that with, and compare it to football, the revenue is even past that. And it's going at an exponential rate that will soon, dwarf that maybe as soon as 5 years. And we're talking not just worldwide, but also in America. So when you just look at all that from all the other aspects, I'm able to follow EuroLeague basketball in ways I never could before. I'm looking forward to seeing some of Deshaun games on the National Basketball League, thanks to some apps that might be out there that might be, taking advantage of that this year, using Deshaun as one of their flagship Americans to popularize the sport over here. There are just so many avenues out there, so much need for content, and so much content available throughout basketball, that you look at college basketball and the revenues that March Madness brings, it's not going down. It's exploding. So I think this one-and-done rule, it's not going to hurt college basketball at all, because we're seeing the revenues skyrocket as it is. And there's just such a clamor for any type of basketball that I see the up arrow hitting in EuroLeague and NBA and college basketball as well.
Yeah, Gerald, you're right on all counts, and there's no doubt the Dream Team and what happened in Barcelona changed a lot of things, and people even said at that point it was going to take the world 40 years to catch up. Well, it hasn't been 40 years yet, more around 30, but the world has really caught up in many respects, and that's a true positive. The other thing is, and I felt this way for a long time, the commonality between soccer and basketball is that, number one, it doesn't require a ton of equipment as opposed to football, baseball, etc. Although we see guys make do in the Dominican and other places, baseball-wise, with a rolled-up wad of socks or whatever. I mean, guys really dedicated to play the sport. But when you're talking about from an organized standpoint, basketball, like soccer, doesn't take that much equipment. It also, Daryl, is a solo endeavor in many respects. You know, we've seen the images of the guys at the farmhouses in Indiana, right? Larry Bird out there shooting buckets by himself in the snow, whatever. See, people that play soccer work on all their ball skills by themselves. This is something that basketball has, and I think it's one of the reasons, Daryl, it's taken off, because you have people all around the world, when exposed to it, they're able to go out with a ball, it doesn't matter if you don't have a net, it doesn't matter if the rim is bent, you have the ability to go out and play, because it doesn't take a ton of people to do it.
Right, and it's such a big, expansive world out there that you can see someone, you were just bringing up named Jimmer Fredette, who has a big-time following in China for what he's done.
Yeah,
carrying his BYU following out there and exploding exponentially. And then you might, if we look at just guys who haven't even played a second of NBA ball, from anyone from Zion Williamson to LaMelo Ball, I mean, these two guys are on the cover of Slam Magazine, back-to-back issues, and, you know, they're just along up there with LeBron James and Kevin Durant. I mean, they're two of the biggest salesmen for basketball, and they haven't even played 1 second of pro ball. I mean, it's that type of atmosphere that's following amateur basketball as well as pro ball all the way around. And that's what I mean. It could be someone from Andrew Bogut, who had a fine career in the NBA and goes back home to Australia and makes the sport explode again over there with a new resurgence for one of their legends over there. So it's just so many areas that it keeps on popping and popping, and we haven't even gotten to the heart of basketball, the hottest hotbed in the world of basketball in Africa, with the Basketball Africa League that's coming up, you know, sponsored by the NBA, and the inroads they've made over the last 10 years, especially with, you know, Basketball Beyond Borders and the players they've landed, from anyone from Joel Embiid to Pascal Siakam and the numerous NBA players who come through those walls. There's going to be so many more great players, great talent coming through those leagues in the decades to come.
Yeah, we have seen it all over the league. There's no doubt about it. And you've got 18, 19-year-olds that are just terrific players. To get it back close to home, and it, again, is purely self-serving when I talk about the Lakers, because it is important to this station that the Lakers do well. They have not. You know, one point, Daryl, back the start of the 2000s, our three main professional sports were all at conference or world championship level. We had the Raiders, we had the Giants, and we had the Lakers, and they either in 2002 were champions or they were playing for championships. Doesn't happen all the time. Okay, you look around right now. The Giants are not going great guns. The Lakers have struggled as of late. For us, the Raiders and the 49ers haven't been at their apex, that's for sure. So from a station standpoint, never mind the number of Laker fans that are around, there are a ton of them, it is important that the Lakers are not only good and competitive, but they have a chance to win a title. They are one Kawhi Leonard decision away from being not only a favorite, but a prohibitive favorite. I mentioned to you, and I feel this way, given Kawhi's personality, I was going to and will still be stunned if he signs with the Lakers. But I'm also honest enough to say, Daryl, that the longer it goes, the less the likelihood that he takes the 1-1 that I thought he would take in Toronto so that he could get to a Supermax. And it appears to be almost a certainty he's going to be in L.A., and it looks like the Lakers. Tell me I'm wrong about this.
you know, it's tough to read Kawhi. He's got the best poker face in the game.
No doubt.
And those three teams, you know, it wouldn't be surprising if he chose any one of those because they're all wonderful choices and they're all perfect fits for Kawhi Leonard. And when it comes to the Lakers, though, they give something that nobody else can give, and that's perhaps the three greatest players ever to assemble on the same team. And with not to mention Kyle Kuzma being a good sixth man off the bench, or he might be a starter playing alongside them, it gives them such a strong nucleus that I would venture that they'll win at least 60 games the first year together, no matter who they surround those four players with. And to me, that seems like the most intriguing team. There's always that great storyline, though. If he stays in Toronto, he's Canada's guy. You know, he'll be Canada's most popular, so that one's great, too. And the Clippers, they seem to be the favorites all year long. So
yeah,
with their enthusiastic owner and coach, and that's also a perfect fit. So it's really, he can't go wrong in any of those places, and that's why I think it's such a tough decision for him. But we have to remember, the Lakers were his first choice. Before LeBron James went there, before Anthony Davis was traded there, he went through his uncle, through his other agent, Mitch Frankel, through the voice plates of his former client, Chris Carter. They used to announce Chris Carter, Jalen Rose, and Stephen A. Smith used to use their anonymous source, who I know was Uncle Dennis and also Mitch Frankel,
right,
those two gentlemen. And they said he wanted to be traded to the Lakers. He wanted to go to the Lakers. That was his choice as of a year and a half ago, going back to January of 2018, all the way through June of 2018. And the Spurs and Greg Popovich would not trade him to the Lakers. So I think deep down, even though LeBron went there afterwards and Anthony Davis went there, that was the place that he originally wanted to go. Now, the Clippers made their case, and he was happy to go there. I think the Raptors then made a greater case when he won a national championship, NBA championship, and he's happy to stay there now. But we can't forget the first team that drew the trade demands. It was the Lakers, and it was before LeBron and AD got there. I kind of have to think they're more appealing even now.
I think you're right on all counts. The other thing is, and I had mentioned this to you right when the finals, not when they were done, but right after the injury to Durant, Kawhi, I told you, Nick Nurse in the post-game press conferences, Nick Nurse, and I understand this, that the coach of the Raptors was trying to soft-pedal the impact of Durant or the impact with the lack of Durant out there. And he said, you know, they've had a few injuries, we've had a few injuries. That's sort of ridiculous, okay? I mean, it was not just a few injuries. It was critical pieces. Kawhi gets up, and they asked him about Durant going down again, and he just, as only Kawhi can do, he said, everything changes when Kevin's out there. Okay, now, I read this two ways. One, he's not concerned about political correctness. He's going to be truthful, because it did kind of undermine the, well, we have some injuries too. What he was saying was, it was a whole different ball game if Durant was out there playing. Because of that, Daryl, I kind of felt, and I still do feel, that Kawhi believes that what happened was wonderful this last year, but he is aware, if not for injury, he probably would not have been able to push Toronto through. And I just wonder, and I wanted your opinion, if that does play into this about going back to what I thought would be the best locale for him, back to wait for the Supermax in a couple of years, that he kind of recognized objectively what happened was sort of lightning in the bottle. The confluence of just the right stuff happened, and he can't count on it happening again. Is that maybe one of the driving forces of wanting to leave Toronto?
I don't believe so at all. I believe Kawhi.
Well, I think you're wrong, Daryl. I think you needed to agree with me. So.
No, I think I agree with you in the fact that Kevin Durant makes the Warriors a tougher team, a stronger team. But I'm not convinced they win the championship. And the fact of the matter is, people get hurt at this time of year. You have to expect. I expect Durant to get hurt. I expected Kawhi to get hurt. I expect every player on that team to get hurt. And they're going to miss games, and they're not going to miss games. And that's just part of basketball.
Yeah, but wait a second, though. You could not have expected both Durant and Klay Thompson to go down, and you were still one Steph Curry jumper away from a Game 7. Now, it's a Game 7, Daryl, that Toronto would almost assuredly had won because those two were out. The point I'm making, if you're Kawhi, do you say, and this is being selfish and smart, do you say to yourself, the timing was right, everything was right, I'm a hero in Toronto, but staying, I don't think we can repeat it, not just because of the Warriors, because the Warriors aren't the same, but because of everything else going on, what's going on in the Eastern Conference, with Milwaukee, with Philly. Keep in mind, if that ball doesn't kiss the rim and bounce four times, Philly might have beaten them in Game 7. I'm saying, is there a cold, hard reality? That's a very intelligent thing, by the way, to recognize, that plays into Kawhi saying, time to leave Dodge on a high note.
No, I do not believe that at all. Because I don't think Milwaukee is better. I don't think Boston is better. I don't think Philly is better. And I think Toronto is going to be a lot better if he stays. Because Kawhi Leonard was only there for 1 year. Danny Green was only there for 1 year. Marc Gasol, before the playoffs started, was only there for 2 months. So those guys were all new to the team. And what that told me was that in March and April, they were going to try to get on the swing and get as good as they could. Because Marc Gasol was new to the starting lineup, and they had to adapt quickly. I did believe they were going to be better in May than they were in April, better in June than they were in May. And if they stay together next year, they're going to be so much better because these guys will become acclimated and know each other that much more. Kind of like
well,
the
Warriors.
Well, then
why leave, Daryl? Okay, I'll take that on face value. If that's the case, then I do not understand at all the motivation to leave. If Durant left OKC because he wasn't happy and felt they couldn't win a title and he didn't like, well, we know how enigmatic Durant is. He's forever searching. He is. He is U2. He still hasn't found what he's looking for. There's no doubt about it. But if you're Kawhi and you're there and everything you say is true, where you saw Durant be left wide open for criticism by going to a coattail situation, why would you ever put yourself through that now?
Well, first of all, I don't think he'll face the criticism for two reasons. One, he's a two-time champion, a two-time finals MVP, making the choice for the first time in his life where he wants to go, as opposed to other players who faced undeserved criticism, I might add, but those players were supposedly ring hunting or doing things or jumping on super teams. I never bought into that narrative. But that's what people said. But Kawhi is different. He already has the rings. He has the championships. This is his first opportunity to go where he wanted to go, and that was Los Angeles. He said that a year and a half ago. He had no business staying in Toronto. He was just going to go there for a year, but they made a darn hard case. And now it's like, how can I leave this now? But then the Clippers make it so appealing. Well, they're showing, well, they have something great for me too. And then the Lakers even trump that by getting LeBron James and Anthony Davis to partner up with, and it's like, oh, my goodness. And you can't call him a ring hunter or a championship because he mentioned a year and a half ago he wanted to go to Los Angeles before those guys were even there. You know, and he's also got the rings and everything. So, to me, Kawhi is above all criticism. He's above all, you know, what anybody could say about him. And this decision is so tough because he really wants to go to Los Angeles. His family wants him to go to L.A., but Toronto has just such a it's a dynasty in the making if he stays there, because that team is so loaded. Siakam is going to improve so much. He's going to be a superstar one day, and that team is just so loaded that they're whoever he goes to will be the inevitable NBA favorites.
I agree with that, Daryl, though I will tell you, if your reasoning is in the middle of the bullseye, then what is the possibility? We've kidded around about this with certain front offices. They can't make a decision about A or B, so they take option C, all right? Could it be that, and he is, let's say he's legitimately struggling with this, and I know that Kawhi doesn't really want to leave other people hung out to dry, and he's aware that there are guys waiting on his decision. A lot of the free agents, of course, are already done, the high-level guys, but there are guys like Danny Green, et cetera, that are waiting to see what goes on. DeMarcus Cousins might impact him, etc. But if you are right now where Kawhi is at and you're this torn about it, does it lead you to the Clippers as the ultimate franchise of compromise? That you say everything about Toronto, your statement, they're ready-made. Everything about the Lakers is I'm not going to be the guy because LeBron is there and AD is there. I love the Lakers, but the circumstances aren't perfect. Toronto's great, but it's in Canada and it's a long way from home. Therefore, the best option is maybe my third choice in the ladder. I get to play in L.A. I don't get the other criticism. I go to the Clippers. I mean, is there a legitimacy to that argument?
I don't think that's how Kawhi thinks. I think right now it's three great choices. There's no negatives with either any one of those places. And I think if he has any negatives with any of those places, that kind of cancels that team off the list. Let's say, for instance, his uncle was real curious about Rob Pelinka. Now, whether Kawhi is curious about Rob Pelinka, that's another story. He might not care at all. But I know Uncle Dennis Robertson was curious about Rob Pelinka and why Magic trashed him like he did. So he wanted to have a meeting with Magic Johnson to discuss that. And they did, and Magic told us, the media, that they were beyond that. They were past that. And he told them that's what he told, Dennis Robertson about that. Now, we get that little inkling that there was some concern about that. And if Magic had escalated those concerns, maybe that was a deal breaker. Or maybe it was just for the uncle, and maybe Kawhi doesn't care at all. I think whatever negatives exist at these possible places, Kawhi is searching them out. And that might be a deal breaker for one. But there's really, when you look at each one of these situations, I really don't see a negative. I mean, Toronto, some people might say it's cold, it's Canada, it's so far away from home, but he's treated like the number one legend in the country. So he might not see that as a negative, the way he's treated. Same thing with the Los Angeles situations. He has his mansion already set up there for him and his family to be living outside of San Diego, around between that and Orange County. He can chop her in like Kobe Bryant to either team at the Staples Center. So either way, it's all set up. To me, it's win. And he's just got to pick out his favorite because it's tailor-made for him wherever he goes.
Yeah, that's true, Daryl. And I will tell you, if you're going to take the objective view, then what you're going to look at is you're going to look at his belief, if it is yours, that it's ready-made in Toronto, though it's that far from home. And you're going to contrast that with a Clipper organization that's less dysfunctional, at least in appearance, particularly from the ownership group on down, than what's going on in Los Angeles with the Lakers. And you will be the guy. I mean, we talked about the guy ego-wise for people. I'm talking about on the court. He plays at a pace, and everybody follows his lead. That's what caused Toronto to be successful. That will not be the case with the Lakers because you do have LeBron and AD there. But the downside of the Clippers would be, at the moment, they did not get that second star. So when you talk about he can't go wrong, can you also make the argument that the elements of each of the three have something that aren't fully functional for him? So there not only isn't a can't go wrong, but there also isn't a for sure can't miss right decision as well? Is that why it's taken so damn long?
Well, I don't think from his perspective it's taking long at all. He said all along he was going to take meetings on
Tuesday. I think the rest of the league would beg to differ, but sure.
Well, okay. I know, but Kawhi, I've learned one thing as a Spurs fan, and his time there for 7 years, he operates on his own time zone, his own clock, and no man can change him. Not me as a writer. When I went down to interview him, he didn't want to talk to me. He didn't want to do the interview. Everybody's talking about how he wants more press and he wanted more this and that. He would not do the interview with me or anybody else. So I got Tim Duncan to give me 30 minutes of his time. I got Manu to give me 15 minutes of his. Tony, 50. Everybody else did it because he is his own man. And if he doesn't want to do something, he's not going to do it. Now, that goes in line with everything. If he says, I'm going to set my meetings up for Tuesday and then Wednesday and Monday night on the first day of free agency, even though everybody else is meeting Sunday, he didn't change for everybody else. Everybody else said, we need a decision quicker. He said, well, then that's too bad for you because I'm meeting on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And no matter what anybody says, he's dancing to his own drummer.
I understand that. So I will ask you in closing, counselor, and noted San Antonio Spur honk, by the way. I want to make sure I threw that disclaimer in. In all due respect, we do actually like one another. This goes on, by the way, off air, too. Don't think this is just for on air. This isn't Stephen A. and Max Kellerman where they pick sides. We genuinely have disagreements that carry over 24-7.
Arguing for 30 years.
I was going to say, nothing has changed. All right, but if you were to take the very murky crystal ball, where would you put your money right now? Is it on the Lakers with him?
If I have one place to bet, it's L.A. I think L.A. has a 34% chance.
Well, but wait a minute. L.A. doesn't. That's like saying I bet he's going to be playing at the Staples Center. I want to know, which L.A. are we talking about, okay? Are we talking about the
I'm
the
going
Lakers?
With the Lakers at 34%, Clippers 33%, Raptors 33%.
Oh, my. You know, again, talk
but
about
I'm going
mug
with the Lakers. The Lakers have a slight edge. I do think this dream will end with the Lakers getting them.
34-33. Way to take a stand, Howard. Yeah. All right. Then the final question about it would be this. There was a debate whether what the Warriors did was good or bad for the league when they formed the super team. And I'm not talking about the 73-9 team because that was pretty much homegrown. It was, you know, the Hamptons 5 and going and getting KD. If it is the Lakers and you have a healthy LeBron, a healthy AD, and a healthy Kawhi, is it going to be good or bad for the league?
Oh, it's always great for the league. It's always great when the Miami Heat band together. It's always great when the Lakers are able to pull their draft picks together in the 80s. The Celtics do theirs. Rasheed Wallace joins the Pistons, you know, and they win a championship. It's a story of the league where a guy jumps on the team to make them that much better. And we remember those teams forever. And that's why I think what the hidden person behind this whole thing, I think, is Kyle Kuzma, who's a lifelong friend of, I shouldn't say a lifelong friend, but a five-year friend of Kawhi Leonard because they use the same skills basketball coach.
Right.
He's the one that kept the Lakers believing they could get him. Even when they gave up, when they didn't have the cap room, when they were going on to other directions, he said, no, we can still get him. We can still get him. He works out with Kawhi. He, you know, had to. And I think Kyle Kuzma is going to be, the story's going to come out if the Lakers do get him. He will be the hidden reason why it all worked out in the end. And it's because he believed in that narrative that the Lakers could build a super team if they just stayed with it long enough, fought with it long enough. Because he knows Kawhi. He knows what he's like. And he knows the decision will, if you just stay patient, bite your lip, don't give away secrets, don't talk bad about him, and then eventually he'll come to you.
Yeah, Kyle Kuzma was lucky to get past Fresno State in the regional. That's all I can tell you. All right. I'll let you go, my friend, hoopmag.com, NBA.com. We will reconvene next week, and I'm going to explain this to you one last time. This is how it works from my point of view. If the Lakers form a super team, bad. If Miami reforms a super team in the future, bad. If the Knicks happen to get a super team, bad. Same with the Bulls. Bad in Brooklyn. Bad in 29 locations. If, however, in San Francisco at the Chase Center, a super team reforms, that is good for the league. And I think you probably knew that was my point of view to begin with. Daryl, I appreciate it. Stop laughing at me. I will talk to you next week, my friend. Take care. I'll see you.
Kevon Looney should never have signed that deal. He's
Shut up. Honestly.
He's doing him favors. He's doing too many favors for your team.
You know, you guys, just go to the Riverwalk and drown. That's all I can tell you. All right, Daryl, I'll talk to you next week. Take care. I'll see you.
See you, Tony.
Have a great fourth. Our good friend Daryl Howerton, hoopmag.com, NBA.com. Check out his story on Ed Gregory. It's absolutely terrific, the former Fresno State coach who is one of the great scouts in the NBA. Take a break, wrap it up, send you off to CG after this on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. A couple minutes ago on the show. Thanks again, of course, to Russ for his time on the board. CG is coming up. Take it 3-6. Giants 6:30 with the pre 7:10 first pitch from Petco as the Giants try to back up that 13-2 win last night. And over on 790 tonight, the A's start an important series with the Twins. Every series for the A's is important because they're going to be chasing the wild card the rest of the way. That'll be a 7:07 first pitch with a 6:45 pre on the deuce 790. Also, of course, thanks to Daryl for his time, and I hope you check out everything that he writes at NBA.com, hoopmag.com. I had mentioned prior to the break that he did a story on former Fresno State coach Ed Gregory, who has been one of the best scouts in the NBA for a long, long time, and it's a really good read. So check it out at hoopmag.com, part of NBA.com, and get the opportunity. The other thing is Bob had emailed in a question about Bob down in the South Valley, question about Tyler Skaggs, anything new. Bob, I have not heard anything different than what we heard yesterday. I know people in San Diego where the Giants played last night, they were the only California teams playing last night in state. Of course, the Angels had their game understandably canceled in Arlington against the Rangers. They'll get back to it tonight. But naturally, everybody was just stunned and saddened in ways that only guys in the business of baseball itself can fully understand. You know, the story in ESPN talked about how Skaggs was a roommate in the minor leagues with Mike Trout, etc. We know so many people in the South Valley around Visalia really thought the world of Skaggs for his time down there in the minors. And it really hits close to home for all the guys, particularly when you're 27 years old, by all appearances completely healthy. I'd mentioned we just saw him pitch against the A's at the Big A over the weekend. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself, if you're a teammate or anybody in baseball, getting the news that at the hotel they find him unconscious and had passed away at age 27, as we mentioned yesterday, to his wife Carly, I mean to everybody in the organization and all friends and family in the South Valley and down in Woodland Hills in Los Angeles where he grew up. His mom was a great high school softball coach. Our deepest sympathies, but to his wife in particular, and I said this to CG yesterday, I just cannot comprehend what it's like to get that kind of phone call. It's staggering, and you feel so bad about it, and hopefully everybody is going to be able to move forward. We'll see you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.